brace for landing and listen to the Uncut Gems podcast. You know? A weekly show where we talk about movies no one else wants to talk about, usually for as long as it takes to watch these pieces of crap. But not today. Today we're talking about something special because this is a patron-exclusive bonus time episode where we're supposed to talk about classics. And today we're talking about Airport, baby. My name's Jakub.
And my name's Randy.
And today, special guest with us once again, the returning voice, the returning friend, Jakub Krabs in the house. How are you doing?
I'm brilliant. I'm actually quite excited to talk about this because there's actually a lot to talk about. The next episodes, we'll get onto that when we get onto it. But this one's an interesting one because you guys are like in the midst of really doing, I don't know if this is on the podcast, I think it's out of it, but you guys are on this disaster high. So I'm interested to see where this compares because I've seen a few and the mixed return. This one was an interesting one. Yeah.
Isn't it though?
Yeah.
No, because the whole month is the Terror in the Sky, and then this whole Terror in the Sky starts with Airport in 1970s that just ushers in the era of a disaster film, right?
Yeah.
So we're doing Skyjacked, we're doing a few other films, and then we're doing sequels later on.
And you have an itch so difficult to scratch. You decided to further your examination of this genre by watching the likes of what? Earthquake,
Avalanche,
Shockwave.
I can't find Earthquake, but I did find Meteor, The Swarm, City on Fire. I've got all of them lined up. So that over the course of this month, you'll hear more from me. And Randy, you're on the same kick, right?
Yeah, I do this type of thing. I've got Earthquake lined up. I have that already on one of my cable tie-ins, so I'm ready to watch that.
You watched Poseidon Adventure, didn't you?
I got halfway through, so I'm gonna finish Poseidon Adventure and see. I did see Avalanche and Meteor before.
I might watch the sequel to Poseidon. I have that on DVD. I might watch the sequel of that and see what that's like.
The sequel from the 70s or the 80s or the one from... Well, that is... Like the one with Kurt Russell.
No, it's not the one with Kurt Russell. Not the Wolfgang Peterson one. No, it's the sequel to the original. I think it's where they go down back to it and get some gold or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Are you serious? Is this what's happening in this film? I need to line this up.
Hold I thought, on. Yeah, Beyond the Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. It exists. Maybe it's better than The Deep.
I'm pretty sure, Jakub, that's
probably
what it's about.
Probably is, because like there's most of cinema, I think, is better than The Deep.
Yeah, that's one we struggled with.
But I liked the Poseidon Adventure because like any movie where Gene Hackman orders people around, slaps them and shouts at them, it's always a good experience. I don't know why.
Right, you ready for this?
Especially when he's a minister.
Exactly. After the cloth.
After the Poseidon Adventure, in which the ship got flipped over by a tidal wave, just in case you forgot, the ship drifts. There's a slip there. There's a subconscious slip. The ship drifts bottom up in the sea while the passengers are still on board waiting to be rescued. Two rivaling salvage parties enter the ship on search for money, gold, and a small amount of plutonium. Plutonium's on the ship. And guess who's in it? Michael Caine, Sally Field, yes. Telly Savalas, and Peter Boyle, Jack Warden, and Shirley Knight. And Shirley Jones is in it.
Sold.
I want to see how many of these films, these disaster films, can be all traced back to the Dirty Dozen.
Oh, I reckon.
Is there one with Charlie Bronson? Like, I don't know.
Oh, I'm on a bit of a kick of his at the moment, but I might be soon. I think those.
But do you know that it's also directed by Erwin Allen?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. Yeah, yeah.
And if you don't know, Erwin Allen also did The Towering Inferno. I think, did he the first Poseidon Adventure? I think he did. No, that was wrong.
He did
wrong
Voyage of the Return of the thing, didn't he? Something like that. Was the Swarm.
Earthquake.
He did Swarm, yes.
Oh, God, Jakub.
Yeah, he did. What did he do? Anyway, so we're not here to as Margot Robbie would say, apparently this is an Australian saying. We're not here to fuck spiders, so let's get on with it, right?
What
did you not hear on Graham Norton's show? They were talking about these weird sayings that they have in their own countries, and Alicia Vikander was saying that, you know, in Sweden. Like, you can't just like slide in here like on a shrimp sandwich, as in like what are you talking about? Yeah, exactly. Like, these people have, in different countries, have different sayings that mean absolute jack shit in English. So she was saying, like, in Australia, we just say, like, when, you know, like, when people are just procrastinating, people, you just say, like, we're not here to fuck spiders, let's do it.
What's Alicia Vikander doing on the gram? Like, what's she producing, what's she promoting at the moment?
Oh, no, that was, like, from years and years ago.
Oh, right. Look, you didn't say that, did you?
Yeah. No, my brain is just a, like a receptacle for that kind of horseshit and just like stays around in my head, you know, like it just for years and years.
So this, it's like a comet that's just making a revolution now.
Yeah. So, exactly. Because it's on a parabolic orbit. it's time. Anyway, so we're here to talk about Airport. From 1970, and that's in addition, that's in connection, I'm sorry, to our series of Terror in the Sky that's happening on our main show, and then might as well just quickly do the, go about our due diligences and just quickly remind you that also this month on our, like a week ago by now, I think, School Days has made an appearance, so that's our patron tie into our newly launched Spike Lee retrospective marathon, I don't know. The minor and major, the major joint to our minor joint that we did on the main show, which was She's Gonna Have It. And she did. she got it. and just a gentle reminder, towards the end of the month, we are going to continue our Catherine Bigelow marathon, where we're going to be talking about Near Dark. So that's it. I'm going to keep it short and sweet because we've already wasted like a, I think the technical term is shit ton of time, just talking about Beyond the Poseidon Adventure or whatever. So let's just dig into this. Let's just talk about Airport.
Excuse me, madam. May I see your ticket?
My ticket? Oh, that nice young man at the gate took it.
No, he wouldn't do that. If it was a round-trip ticket, you'd still have the return flight coupon. If it was a one-way, you'd still have the ticket stub and boarding folder.
You're English, aren't you? I knew it the moment you started to talk. You make our language sound so delightful. My late husband used
Never
to
mind
say...
Never mind what he said. What about your ticket?
Well, I'll certainly look, my dear, but I'm sure...
Why don't you stop wasting my time, Mrs. Quonset? You are Mrs. Ada Quonset, aren't you?
Well, since you're aware of who I am, there's no use denying it, is there?
If there's some misunderstanding, perhaps I can help.
There's no misunderstanding. Are you traveling with this lady?
No.
Then it's none of your business, sir. This woman is a stowaway.
Are we going to turn back?
You're not that important. When we land in Rome, you'll be handed over to the authorities. Now come with me. The captain has to make a report on you. But first he'd like to see you. Would you let this lady out, please?
The captain wants to see me?
What happened? And he doesn't like to be kept waiting. Now come on.
There's no need to treat her like a criminal.
That's exactly what she is.
So Airport. Is it this, oh, I should probably specify Airport 1970. Because the titling convention in the series, and we're going to get to it on our main show, let's just say it's not very original.
Nope.
So Airport 1970 is a disaster film directed by George Seaton. And it's set in a fictional, I think, Lincoln Airport. I think it's a Chicago airport. And it follows the unfolding chaos as a bomber threatens a commercial airliner with an ensemble cast including Burt Lancaster and Dean Martin. The film explores the efforts of airport personnel and passengers to avert disaster. As tension builds, the movie combines suspense, drama, and a touch of romance... against the backdrop of the logistics crisis. Yeah. Right. So.
great synopsis.
Yeah. So it was also written. Thanks, ChatGPT. It's just, you know. I can't invest in OpenAI because I think they're partially owned in Microsoft. So might as well just buy some Microsoft stock and just thank them with my hard-earned cash. You know, this episode is not sponsored by Trading 212. But if you want to, get in touch. Because, you know, we have to pay for Zencaster next month and this bill just scares me. So anyway, this film was directed and written by George Seaton. And this is a guy who also did, let's just say, if you look at his filmography, I think the charitable and polite way of calling him would be a company man. He's a studio hand who did like a bunch of westerns, bunch of like these screwball comedies. I think he did Miracle on the 34th Street. He did a bunch of war dramas. Anyway, so the film is based on a book by Arthur Haley. And it's inspired by the, I think partially the plot is inspired by The High and the Mighty from 1954. And by the way, Haley also wrote another air disaster film called 0 Hour! Exclamation mark. in 1957. So it's not exactly new ground for him. Ernest Laszlo did cinematography and he worked on Stalag 17 and Apache, and he won an Oscar for Stanley Kramer's Super Falls. So I think just even based on that, you kind of have an idea what kind of a movie you're in. And also, as I said before, like Burt Lancaster, Dean Martin, Gene Seberg, Jacqueline Bisset, George Kennedy, Helen Hayes, and a bunch of other people are in it. So in terms of production, I think that was like one little nugget that really kind of made me laugh was like they decided like let's stage all the outdoor shots in Minneapolis, no, in St. Paul, sorry, in Minnesota, because you know we want this to be set in winter, so there's going to be snow, and they move into Minnesota and there's no snow. So for half of their outdoor shoot, they had to use like sawdust and plastic snow. Thank Christ they didn't go Wizard of Oz and use asbestos.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I was going to mention that later on, but I'm glad you mentioned it now, because that was quite frightening. Yeah.
And a few of the cast refused to fly because they hardly ever flew. Dean Martin, Helen Hayes, they took the train because they didn't like flying, ironically.
Yeah, ironically, right? And so for the indoor things, they built a whole sort of inside set of a 707, which then later they rejigged to a 747 for the other film, for the Airport 75, which is sequel for this, not the fifth sequel, just the second one. And that kind of set became Seth 747, apparently, and other people used it in other places, I think. And also it was reused later on in 1971 in The Andromeda Strain. Listen to our main show, like from a year ago when we went on a massive Michael Crichton kick. That was a journey and a half. Really loved that.
Yeah, the Westworld episodes are really good.
Yeah,
that was great. These movies are... I'm losing my train of thought anyway, because... Like, we're going to get to why, but, you know, okay, let's just quickly just get through this. So, like, the movie was released, I want to say, in May 1970. Ran for, like, straight 12 weeks because it became, like, a massive success. And I mean, massive enough that that dethroned Spartacus as the most profitable film that Universal ever made, and was second highest grossing film ever, maybe? So like it was like the second ever to cross the 100 million mark, just after Love Story, which was, I think, same Paramount.
Year. And same year.
Yeah. So it was a big year for movies, by the way. And then people saying, oh, 100 mil, what is it? In 1970, 100 mil is like, I want to say like 400 mil.
Big numbers.
Yep. It's big numbers, right? And, you know, and it's not rolled out in a blockbuster sort of fashion. It's rolled out classically. People didn't know you could roll the same movie in many locations at the same time. It was just mind-boggling to them. So the movie made 100 mil. That's equivalent to, because I wrote it down and I just forgot. Like it would be the equivalent of nearly $800 million in 2022, like if you account for inflation. Massive movie, right? And by the way, Burt Lancaster made like a lot of money because he wanted 10% of all the proceeds if the movie crossed 50 million marks. So he made a killing. Dean Martin the same thing.
So did Dean Martin, yeah.
Yeah. What was nominated for 10 Oscars, won one. Helen Hayes, who's the old lady who's a stowaway in the film, she got an Oscar for this. We're going to get to it.
I have
notes. I have shit to say.
Okay? Oh, my God.
If you'd like to listen to this show in its entirety, head over to our Patreon over at patreon.com/uncutgemspod, where for $3 a month you'll be able to hear many other bonus recordings of ours, such as tie-ins to our main show, mini retrospectives, and comprehensive director marathons. patreon.com/uncutgemspod is the place, so head over there and subscribe.